Let's remember that everything is not as bleak as it seems in any way. Whether it be finances, whether it be church, whether it be life or health or whatever. I was just reading something today that in Texas, they arrested a man who was in ISIS battle gear, combat gear. And they had a person put a blog on there that people could write in their thoughts about this. And I'm here to tell you, this nation is in fear. It really is. And people are scared. And in a sense, I can understand why. But we as Christians, you know, with what we're studying, we cannot help but see how this thing is rolling over. And there's some things tonight that I think are kind of neat as we take a look at this, the last part of this unholy Trinity that is to resemble the real Trinity. We've studied in chapter 12, we studied about the dragon, who is literally Satan. We studied the first part of chapter 13 last week on the first beast. The first beast came out of the water. We didn't really say much about that, but we might need to, because tonight in chapter 13, as we look at verse 11, we are looking at the second beast. And Scripture says, "Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth." And I want to stop right there for a moment. The first beast rose out of the water. The second beast rises out of the earth. Now, there's no real clear-cut explanation or definition for that. So I'm going to give you mine, okay? And you can do with it whatever you want to. To me, first of all, the beast that rises out of the sea is a symbol of the collective power that he's going to have amongst the nations, the continents, okay? So he's going to be, this beast is going to rule this collective power of continents, okay? Now, this beast says he rises from the earth. There's one thing you need to know that is the difference between religion and Christianity. Christianity is not man-made, but religion is. And I believe that this is a real strong indicator that it's talking about the second beast being a ruler of the religious order that is going to be kind of in a chaotic state at this point, but he's going to collectively bring that together. It is man-made, and so you can't get it any clearer than that, than it being coming from the earth. Because we ourselves know that we were formed from the dust of the earth. And because of that, because of sin, we go right back into the earth again. Okay? So I think that's important. Like I said, there's no real clear cut, but I read a few things, and that to me makes the most sense as far as why it is signified he's rising from the earth. Okay? Now, we're going to get a list of characteristics of this beast. Okay? He says it has, he says of the earth, it had two horns like a lamb and it spoke like a dragon. Let's take a look at that first of all. We know, and we're going to see this later on in Scripture as defined, that this trio is nothing more than an imitation of the real deal, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? So what better way to describe this false prophet, because that's what he's called later on in Scripture, as a lamb? Who is Jesus Christ? He is the lamb, okay? The difference is that this lamb has horns. Now, from what I know about lambs and sheep, which is not a whole lot, I just did a little reading on them, that they don't have horns except for the ram does. And two is important. One's they signify power and authority and strength. Okay? I don't know, you've probably all seen these rams on these nature shows and how they butt heads with those things. Man, it's a wonder they don't knock each other senseless. But anyway, This talks about a lamb different than the lamb that came for our sins. This is talking about a lamb that is going to have power and authority and strength in his religious organization and group that he brings up. Okay? It also says that he spoke like a dragon. Okay? In other words, this second beast, as did the first beast, was given the mouth of the dragon, which is the one who is the focal and the central part of this union. Okay? What was he speaking? He was speaking blasphemies against God. The most utter blasphemies that could be spoken. We understood in the first part of 13, so did the first beast speak these blasphemies against God and against the Son and against His work. Well, so is this second beast. He's been given the same mouth to speak the same things as the dragon spoke and as the first beast speaks. Okay? Very important to understand. He says here in verse 12, he says it exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence. So, we have to understand this is not a weak part of this unholy Trinity. He literally has authority given to him by the first beast to do these things in the presence of this first beast or the Antichrist. Okay? So all the things that he's going to do in his presence before the whole world. And the whole world will be able to see it because of the technology that we have to be able, there'll be screens all over the big cities in the country. I mean, you know, they're even talking about now, you know, they keep talking about taxing the internet. They're not going to do that. What they're going to do is end up, they've been working at getting free internet to everybody so that they can all be linked in. Why? I'll tell you, this is why I think it is. So you'll have no excuse. Everybody in the world will be able to see what's going on and hear what's going on. Well, they're going to visually see this second beast, and he's going to have authority of the first beast. Now, it says in verse 3, he says, and he makes the earth as and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose mortal wound was healed. Okay? I read one guy that said he didn't believe this was literally the Antichrist, that it was more of a kingdom. I can't see that. I don't see that. Just it isn't reflected to in Daniel, but not these two things are not going to be verbatim word for word. They were for different audiences. Okay? It says that this beast, that the one that he exercises this authority over and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast who was mortally wounded and was healed. We know that happens as we read prior in the chapter, in the previous part of this chapter, the Antichrist is going to receive a mortal wound, a dead inflicting wound, okay? And he is going to cause worship to this beast. Now, there's something interesting. I've read a lot of books on the tribulation. And they go as far as to say, you know, that he's shot or this or that or the other thing. I'm here to tell you, Scripture tells you, if you go down a little bit further here, it says that he was wounded by the sword and yet he's going to live. Okay? I got to thinking about that. You know, that puts a whole new perspective on this for me as far as how he is wounded and killed by the sword. What is the main way that things are going to be dealt with in the tribulation, as they're starting to be even dealt with now, with the sword, whether it be beheaded or put through? What greater miracle could be performed than the false prophet to raise the beheaded figure of the Antichrist? Now, there's nothing in there that says this, but it makes me think it's not a gunshot wound. It's very clear that it's by the sword, okay? So we need to keep that in mind as we process this. We're not given any real close indicators, but it's neat to try to figure some of this stuff out and see the way that it's working. And years and years and years ago, when I first started studying this, I would have no more remotely come to this than anything. But now it's a different society. It's a different story. That's the way the those against God are dealing with their enemies. Okay? So anyway, I just wanted to give you that. He says here in verse 13 that it, meaning the second beast, performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of the people. Another copy. You know what this is a copy of, don't you? One of the plagues that happened in Egypt when fire and brimstone came down. He is copying some of the very things that God himself did to those unbelieving Egyptians. So this false prophet is going to be able to perform signs and wonders. He may even turn water into wine. Who knows? He's going to do a lot of things that are going to deceive not the nations, the world. Okay? So, he's been given this. He says it performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to the earth in front of the people. And by the signs that is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on the earth. Now, we can see that these images, has there ever been a society more susceptible to saying, you know what, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it, society? That's the way it is. In fact, unfortunately, not just this society, Doubting Thomas, as we call him, said, you know what, you guys all just saw an illusion or something, but if I can do this, stick my fingers in his side and in his handprints, then I'll believe. Jesus said, great, but greater are those who believe without seeing than those who put their hands in. Well, because of the signs and wonders that the false prophet performs, the world is going to stand in awe. Now, there's a key word in there to me. I don't know about you, but the key word is allowed. The second beast is allowed to do these things in the presence of the first beast. Who's allowing him to do these things? It isn't Satan. Satan's only allowed to do what God allows him to do. It has to be God himself. Remember, God is getting prepared to end this thing for certain. We know this is the middle of the tribulation. We know there's 1,260 days after this occurs left of what they know it to be. And then comes the judgments, the final, the separation of the sheep and goats, the 45 days that we talked about, and then the millennium starts. Okay, so this allowing, and I want to say this, this union only does still what God allows it to do. Amen? So that's why we not need to be afraid. I'm going to tell you right off, the Bible does not say I cannot defend my home. The Bible does not say I cannot defend my family or defend my loved ones. And I will, should I be attacked. I want you to know that. So, you know, you can bar me, fire me, you know, whatever you want to do, but that's just how I feel about it. But I know God's still in control. You're not going to take rabies away from a rabid dog. It's already too late. These people are rabid people, and they're out to do one thing, and that's damage and destroy Christianity and anything to do with it. I got an interesting email today, and it was on the back of a dollar bill. And on the back of that dollar bill, it says, "In God we trust." And somebody had stamped, there's no God but Allah underneath it. You know, that kind of stuff just really crawls up and down my spine in a real bad way, real quick. But I got to remember something. I'm here to serve God, and that's what I'm going to do. Okay? But we must... We're still fighting the forces of evil, okay? We're still fighting those forces. And are those forces are as evil in our own government as they are across the ocean, okay? That guy should have never been here to begin with if things would have been done like it should have been done in the beginning. But it's not. Can't cry over spilt milk. It is what it is. So the thing is, let's get down on our knees and continue to pray, doing two things, loving God and loving others. And I'll love them as best I can. Unless God tells me to just lay down and kneel down and let them cut my head off, I'm not going to do that, Okay? I just need you to know that. Unless he really says, I want you to do this. I want you to be martyred in my name. But you know, it is done here. We read that in the last chapter. There are those that are designed for captivity. Those that are set forth in captivity are going to be captives. Those that are designed to go through and be martyred and die, they will die. And there's no changing it. And there's two things that are going to get them through, just like I said before. Those that are in captivity, it will be perseverance. Those that are dead, that are going to be killed, it's going to take faith. Last verse of chapter 12, you can see that's exactly what it says. And so this is, we're not here, okay? Understand that. So that's why I believe I can say what I can say. We're not here, okay? If it's here, God's got it set in motion, okay? So let's take a look here a little bit further. He says he deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them, now those are all the ones that are non-believers, and the non-believing Jews, and the and the 144,000 excluded from that, any believers, okay? He says that he's telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded. So, just like Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel made an image representing who? Himself, to which all of the people all over the land, when the harp, lyre, flute, tute, whatever, all the instruments that were played, when those things were played, everybody bowed down. Well, there were three that weren't going to give in to it and weren't going to do it. They didn't care what was going to happen to them. They were not going to worship that image of the beast. Well, here, now the false prophet, the second beast, is making an image of this beast that was wounded and mortally killed. Now, here's something that's neat. He says, wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast. Now, did you read that carefully? Yes. The image of the beast, this image that is carved, that is made, is going to literally be given breath. Not the first beast, the image of the beast. Okay, so the image of the beast is going to be given breath so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. The beast is going to speak, command worship, demand worship, and the beast is going to command. Now, it doesn't say the image of the beast is going to slay them. But the false prophet or the second beast will follow through with the commands of the image of the beast. Wow. This stuff, when I studied this the first 30 times, kind of eluded me. And why, I don't know. But it is very clear here that this image is given breath, that this image is also given words to speak. Words to speak that are no different than the words of the dragon, than the words of the Antichrist, the original beast, and the words of the false prophet. And he's going to speak and he's going to demand worship. He says that the image of the beast to be slain. In verse 16, he says, also it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead. We know this is the middle of the tribulation because of this, okay? Because of the mortal wound of the beast. We know that's when this time is. And it's very important that we understand that this verse is all inclusive to every non-believing earth dweller inhabitant on the face of this planet, okay? Doesn't matter your status, don't matter your profile, doesn't matter your economics, all are going to be given this mark either on the forehand, the right, or the middle of the head. You say, well, so? Do you understand that this is still a deception? I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm going to go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Okay? Chapter 6. And let me share with you something here. This chapter is about the greatest commandment. And that greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. Okay? Stops there for here. But he goes on further to say, when he's talking about teaching them, in verse 7, he says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." The priests wore this thing on their head that had scrolls in it between their eyes and on their hand, in which signified their commitment and covenant to God. This isn't talking to priests in Deuteronomy. This is talking to the general population. Those who love God are going to know the word, teach their children as if it is stamped on their foreheads, as if it is written on their hand. What did we just read about the false prophet? He is going to issue a command that everyone is going to have to receive a mark on their forehead or on their right hand. Another deception, another copy of what Scripture has commanded us as God's people to do. This whole thing that's going on down here is about deception. This whole thing, he is leading the whole world. Now, if we don't, okay, he says in verse 17, "Know so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the number of the beast or the number of his name." In other words, all economics, all type of lifestyle or living altogether is cut short for anybody who doesn't receive the mark. You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't live, you can't work, you can't do nothing without the mark. It's not about that. The mark is about loyalty. The mark is about commitment. The mark is about willing to sell your soul to the Antichrist, which is truly the dragon at heart. Okay? So this, as we look at this, this mark is, however it's done, there's been speculation over the years whether it's a tattoo, whether it's a microchip, whether it's this, whether it's that, whether it's a barcode. I don't know what it is. I just know I don't want to be here for it. And I praise God that in my interpretation and understanding of it, I'm not going to be. Okay? But, however it is, it's going to be received wholeheartedly by the world of lost people. And that's when all-out war is waged against God's people. No holds barred. The mad, rabid dog of Satan, his Antichrist and his false prophet, the rest of that 1260 days is not going to be, it's going to be about power, it's going to be about control, but it's really going to be about killing and doing away with all of the remaining of God's people. And you want to know why? Because he's going to convince the world, and they're going to convince the world that it is the Christian that is the problem. It is the Christian that has brought wars. It is the Christian that has robbed society of its intellect in this nonsensical faith that we have, that has been demonstrated in power and God's glory time and time again. But he's going to have the world buffaloed. And they're going to just run to the mark. I don't know about you, but if this place should end tonight, and that rapture should come, is there maybe not one person that we care about and love? That we care that they should go through the beginning of this? And maybe end to go to the end, I don't know. Do we want anybody that we know to endure and have to endure this? That's why it's so important in our loving God. And the more we love Him, the more we're going to love others. Those that we come in contact with every day. You know, yeah, there's people out there that don't want to hear it. So you know what? I plant the seed and I move on, because there are those that do want to hear it. There are those that are really searching in this country for truth. No, there are people in this country that have never, ever heard the name Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, right. except as a swear word. And so don't tell me we don't have enough gospel teaching and preaching to do here. Do I care about what's going around the world? Yes. But I tell you what I really care about is I really care about trying to do all that we can do since we've been planted here. I haven't been planted there. I've been planted here. You're planted here to do all that God has called us to do and commanded us to do. This is where it gets called. In verse 18, he says, this calls for wisdom. Let the one who has an understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Some manuscripts say 616, but I think this is the better translation, 666. Again, it's a copy. It's a copy of the perfect number. The perfect number of God in Scripture is 777. The difference is 777 is a copy of the number of God who is holy and infinite. 666 is a copy of a number of a man. Earthly, worldly, and that's all that he's about. That's why the time is now. We've seen the picture here. We've seen it. There is enough in just what we've studied in chapter 12 and chapter 13 that we can use this as a dynamite witness to people. Not to scare them. They got enough fear. This we can use to bring hope, can't we? I would think so. Hope that we know that there's a tomorrow. Hope that we know that there's more than this on the horizon. And that's Jesus Christ. He's coming again because he promised us he would. But God is done with the world. He's done with the world. He's done with sin. He's done when he kicks out the second time Satan and all the demonic angels out of heaven, and they can't embark and go back into heaven any longer. That's when Satan goes on the rampage. That's when the first beast arrives. And shortly after that, the second beast arrives. Now, they are not known as beasts till after the beginning of the second part of the tribulation. He's going to appear to be a good man, the beast number one. He's going to bring unity. He's going to answer questions. And it's all leading up to the image of the beast that is going to demand worship. This image of the beast, it is speculated, and I think it's very possible. This image of the beast could be no more than a demonic angel. And that's why it can speak. And that's why it can command. They don't have to look like themselves. They can impersonate. They move in a dimension which you and I are not even familiar with. I heard one preacher preach on the fourth dimension. And you know, all of these UFOs and all these kind of things that were spoken of as far as now people are believing this kind of stuff. He preached that he really believed that these were angels, mostly demonic, moving in and out of a fourth dimension. They can reveal and make themselves known. Not only gods, but the enemy can too. Not all of them are locked up waiting for judgment. There is that hierarchy out there that is still setting up the picture of deception. Do we understand that? There is no greater time in our world that it can be deceived than as it is now. New Age and all the things that go along with that and the religions that are out there that speak of, you know, that are really trying to tap into this supernatural dimension. I remember when I was working at Universal Oil Products, there was a gentleman on one of the other crews, and they bundled us up one time. Two crews worked one shift and two crews worked the other. And because we had to rebuild some things. So we were on night shift. And I was looking for him, and he was a devout Catholic at one time. And I went out to the tailings pond, and I saw him out there, and I thought, what in the world is he doing just sitting there? And he was sitting there doing one of those mantra things, you know, this kind of thing. And I thought, oh, man, what do I do now? It was his lunch hour. I mean, he could do whatever he was doing. And I just waited quietly, and finally he snapped out of it. And I said, what are you doing, Daniel? He says, I was over in Europe. I said, really? He says, yeah, I was just doing a little TMing, and which is transcendental meditation, which allows you to send your astral body, which can leave your real body and go and be projected all over wherever you want it to be. The only danger is I could have come up and said, hey, what are you doing? Broke the cord, and he said he would have died. Well, that would have been real good for me, you know, if that really did happen. But what I'm saying here is, here was a man who was brought up in a religion who has now forsaken everything that he knew to move into the new age. This 7 years is going to be all about that. And demons are going to be real lively in that time. And so I'm just saying, don't think that they're not moving in and out now, because they are. They're setting this whole thing up. Yep. Oh, yeah. I remember my wife used to, years ago, watch the abominable soap operas. That's what I call them. I didn't say that to her, but that's how I felt about it. And one day I just sit down, because I just like spending time with her, so I'd sit there with her once in a while, and we were watching this. And I had been praying that God open her eyes to this. He had to do it. I couldn't nag her to do it, okay? And as she was watching it, she says, you know, this isn't the way it used to be. I said, why is that, honey? She says, well, first of all, there's been 4 sex scenes in 15 minutes. She says, now they're into the occult. One of the stars of the show was moved into the area of the occult, and they were having seances and all kinds of stuff. And she said, that's not for me. She turned it off, and she never turned another one on. But that's exactly, and this was 15, 20 years ago. No, longer than that even. 25 years ago, 30 years ago. She just said, that's it. And that's why she quit reading the Harlequin romances too. She used to love to read, and she used to read those. And she finally said, you know, I can't read these anymore. And so she read other things like Francine Rivers and some really good, she just got hooked on reading. She loved Christian fiction and Christian nonfiction. And that's what growth is. That's what growth is. When we learn to love God, He changes who we are. That's why we need to love God more. Because I'm here to tell you, should the hammer drop, should we be invaded, whatever the case may be, I can guarantee you right now that the church is not ready to deal with what's going to come. They're not. And so we need to be praying for ourselves to be prepared and be ready. Because this time, it is a coming. It is a coming. Even though we won't be here, let's not just take a, oh, I'm glad I'm not going to be here, because somebody you and I know may be here. Let's do what we can do right now to make a difference in others' lives, as God makes a difference in our life. Amen. Would you stand with me? Next week, chapter 14, we're going to begin about the 144,000, the lamb and the 144,000. Good stuff. Good stuff to come. So please, if you would, be prepared for that.